Now on radio.lds.org, the Mormon Channel presents Q&A.
Welcome to another edition of the Mormon Channel's Q&A, questions and answers. You provide us with the questions. We provide you with the answers to those questions. If you have a question for the Mormon Channel, please email us at radio@ldschurch.org. You can also check out our website if you'd like to download this episode or other episodes from the Mormon Channel. Go to our website, radio.lds.org. We received a question that says, quote, "Why is light so important in the scriptures?" close quote. As we read and study the scriptures, Latter-day Saints across the world are gaining light and knowledge. In this episode, we will examine more closely the word light as it appears in the scriptures and explore what our leaders have said about the results of gaining light in our lives and then letting that light shine to others. So, what is light? Elder N. Eldon Tanner, in the October 1977 General Conference, gives us the definition of light.
The first words of the Bible are, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness." We know it from this scripture that God knew there must be light, for light was good, and he divided the light from the darkness. Why did God say, "Let there be light"? First of all, we must establish just what light is. How would you define it? Too often we take for granted some seemingly commonplace things, but we cannot define them. The term light has several meanings in science and philosophy, but for simplification, we will concentrate on Webster's ideological definition, which calls it something that makes vision possible, or spiritual illumination. Though scientists vary in their understanding of the nature of the substance of light, they do say that all energy has its origin in light, mostly from the sun. We know that without physical light, we cannot see the things around us, or even where we are going. And without spiritual light, we cannot have knowledge or understanding. We should note that many who cannot see with their physical eyes are not left in darkness, because they have the same opportunity as others for enlightening their minds through spiritual illumination. Darkness is described as a condition devoid of light, not receiving, reflecting, transmitting, or radiating light, not clear to the understanding, or showing evil traits and desires. Complete darkness, then, would be the absence of light and truth. Thus would not exist in intelligence.
That's Elder N. Eldon Tanner. The scriptures teach us we should seek divine light in our lives. Elder Richard G. Scott in the October 1993 General Conference tells us that the scriptures teach us why we should seek divine light.
The following scriptures teach why we should seek divine light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I, the Lord, will be a light unto them forever that hear my words. It is I that speak. I am the light which shineth in the darkness, and by my power I give these words unto thee. Put your trust in that Spirit which leadeth to do good, yea, to do justly, to walk humbly, to judge righteously. I will impart unto you of my Spirit, which shall enlighten your mind, which shall fill your soul with joy. And by this you may know all things, whatsoever you desire of me, which are pertaining unto things of righteousness. Analogies with physical light help us understand the power of spiritual light. A bulb ignited in a dark room overpowers darkness. Yet if the darkness is too intense, it can overpower light, as with a bulb plunged into a bucket of black ink. Spiritual light overcomes the darkness of ignorance and disbelief. When transgression severely clouds a life, the focused spiritual truths of repentance cut the blackness as a laser penetrates the darkest ink.
That's Elder Richard G. Scott. We understand from the scriptures that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, Elder Dallin H. Oaks in the October 1987 General Conference teaches us that Jesus is the light of the world.
Jesus Christ is the light of the world because he is the source of the light which proceedeth forth from the presence of God to fill the immensity of space. His light is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. The scriptures call this the light of truth, the light of Christ, and the spirit of Christ. This is the light that quickens our understanding. It is the light by which we may judge. It is given to every man that he may know good from evil. Jesus Christ is also the light of the world because his example and his teachings illuminate the path we should walk to return to the presence of our Father in heaven. Before Jesus was born, Zacharias prophesied that the Lord God of Israel would visit his people to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide their feet into the way of peace. During his ministry, Jesus taught, "Behold, I am the light. I have set an example for you." Later, he told his apostles, "Hold up your light that it may shine unto the world," adding, "Behold, I am the light which ye shall hold up, that which ye have seen me do." He taught the Nephite multitude, "Ye know the things that ye must do in my church. For the works which ye have seen me do, that shall ye also do." The Savior emphasized the close relationship between his light and his commandments when he taught the Nephites, "Behold, I am the law and the light." The psalmist expressed that relationship, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." As the Lord led Lehi and his people out of Jerusalem, he said, "I will also be your light in the wilderness, and I will prepare the way before you, if it so be that ye shall keep my commandments." As we keep the Lord's commandments, we see his light ever brighter on our path, and we realize the fulfillment of Isaiah's promise, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually." Jesus Christ is also the light of the world because his power persuades us to do good. In his concluding writings, the prophet Moroni taught, "All things which are good cometh from God. Wherefore, everything which inviteth and enticeth to do good and to love God and to serve him is inspired of God." Moroni's words mirror what the Lord had told him while he was compiling the Book of Mormon. "He that believeth these things which I have spoken shall know that these things are true, for it persuadeth men to do good. And whatsoever thing persuadeth men to do good is of me, for good cometh of none save it be of me. I am the light and the life and the truth of the world." And so we see that Jesus Christ is the light of the world because he is the source of the light that quickens our understanding, because his teachings and his example illuminate our path, and because his power persuades us to do good.
That's Elder Dallin H. Oaks. You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A, questions and answers. We received a question that said, quote, "Why is light so important in the scriptures?" close quote. Often we meet people who just have a certain glow about them or light. How can this light be explained? President James E. Faust in the October 2005 General Conference explains about the light in our eyes and countenance.
I recently recalled a historic meeting in Jerusalem about 17 years ago. It was regarding the lease on the land on which the Brigham Young University's Jerusalem Center for Near Eastern Studies was later built. Before this lease could be signed, President Ezra Taft Benson and Elder Jeffrey R. Holland, then president of Brigham Young University, agreed with the Israeli government on behalf of the church and the university not to proselyte in Israel. You might wonder why we agreed not to proselyte. We were required to do so in order to get the building permit to build that magnificent building, which stands in the historic city of Jerusalem. To our knowledge, the church and BYU have scrupulously and honorably kept that non-proselyting commitment. After the lease had been signed, one of our friends insightfully remarked, "Oh, we know that you're not going to proselyte, but what are you going to do about the light that is in their eyes?" He was referring to our students who were studying in Israel. What was that light in their eyes, which was so obvious to our friend? The Lord Himself gives the answer. "And the light which shineth, which giveth you light, is through Him who enlighteneth your eyes, which is the same light that quickeneth your understandings." And where did that light come from? Again, the Lord gives the answer. "I am the true light that lighteneth every man that cometh to the world. The Lord is the true light, and the Spirit enlighteneth every man through the world that hearkeneth to the voice of the Spirit." This light shows in our countenances as well as our eyes. Paul Harvey, a famous news commentator, visited one of our church school campuses some years ago. Later, he observed, "Each young face mirrored a sort of sublime assurance. These days, many young eyes are prematurely old from countless compromises with conscience. But these young people have that enviable head start which derives from discipline, dedication, and consecration. Those who truly repent receive the Spirit of Christ and are baptized into this church unto the remission of their sins. Hands are laid upon their heads, and through the priesthood of God, they receive the Holy Ghost. It is the gift of God unto all those who diligently seek Him." As Elder Parley P. Pratt characterized it, the gift of the Holy Ghost is, as it were, joy to the heart and light to the eyes. The Holy Ghost is that comforter promised by the Savior before He was crucified. The Holy Ghost gives worthy saints both spiritual guidance and protection. It increases our knowledge and our understanding of all things. This is of immense value at a time when spiritual blindness is increasing.
That's President James E. Faust. So how do we generate the spiritual light in a world that is often filled with the darkness of sin and the distress of despair? Elder Robert D. Hales in the April 2002 General Conference talks about generating spiritual light to push back the darkness.
As children, we learned how to keep darkness away, turning on light. Sometimes when our parents went away from the evening, we'd turn every light on in the house. We understood the physical law that is also a spiritual law. Light and darkness cannot occupy the same space at the same time. Light dispels darkness. When light is present, darkness is vanquished and must depart. More importantly, darkness cannot conquer light unless the light is diminished or departs. When the spiritual light of the Holy Ghost is present, the darkness of the Satan must depart. Beloved young and men and women of the church, we are engaged in a battle between the forces of light and darkness. If it were not for the light of Jesus Christ and his gospel, we would be doomed to the destruction of darkness. But the Savior said, "I come as light into the world. He that follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The Lord is our light and literally our salvation. Like the sacred fire that encircled the children in 3 Nephi, his light will form a protective shield between you and the darkness of the adversary as you live worthy of it. You need that light. We need that light. Carefully study the scriptures, and for the strength of youth, and listen to the teachings of your parents and leaders. Then, by obedience to wise counsel, learn to claim the protective light of the gospel as your very own. You may wonder, how can I do that? There is only one way. You must learn to generate that light each day by believing on Jesus Christ and following his commandments. This past winter, I had the opportunity to learn more about my lungs. I became very aware that you cannot store oxygen. We cannot save the air we need to breathe, no matter how hard we try. Moment by moment, breath by breath, our lives are granted to us and are renewed. So it is with spiritual light. It must be renewed in us on a regular basis. We must generate it day by day, thought by thought, and with daily righteous action if we are to keep the darkness of the adversary away. When I was a boy, I used to ride my bicycle home from basketball practice at night. I'd connect a small pear-shaped generator to my bicycle tire. Then as I pedaled, the tire would turn a tiny rotor, which produced electricity and emitted a single, welcome beam of light. It was simple, but effective. A very important mechanism. But I had to pedal to make it work. I learned quickly that if I stopped pedaling my bicycle, the light would go out. I also learned that when I was anxiously engaged in pedaling, the light would become brighter and the darkness in front of me would be dispelled. The generation of spiritual light comes from daily spiritual pedaling. It comes from praying, studying the scriptures, fasting, and serving. From the living gospel and obeying the commandments. "He that keepeth his commandments receiveth truth and light," said the Lord. "And he that receiveth light and continueth in God receiveth more light, and that light groweth brighter and brighter until the perfect day." My brothers and sisters, that perfect day will be when we have the light, that we can stand and be in the presence of God the Father and Jesus Christ. Sometimes people ask, "Why do I have to go to sacrament meeting? Or why do I have to live the word of wisdom and pay tithing? Why can't I have one foot in Babylon?" May I tell you why? Because spiritual peddling takes both feet. Unless you are fully engaged in living the gospel, living it with all of your heart, might, mind, and strength, you cannot generate enough spiritual light to push back the darkness.
That's Elder Robert D. Hales. As we have the spiritual light in our lives that comes from the Holy Ghost through righteous living, it is truly a great influence on those around us. President James E. Faust in the October 2005 General Conference tells us that we can carry a light in our eyes that is a missionary tool.
Some years ago, Constance, a student nurse, was assigned to try and help a woman who had injured her leg in an accident. The woman refused medical help because she had a negative experience with someone in the hospital. She was afraid and had become something of a recluse. The first time, Constant dropped by, the injured woman ordered her out. On the second try, she did let Constance in. By now, the woman's leg was covered with large ulcers and some flesh that was rotting, but she still didn't want to be treated. Constant made it a matter of prayer, and in a day or two, the answer came. She took some foaming hydrogen peroxide with her on the next visit. And this was painless. The old woman let her use it on her leg. Then they talked about more serious treatment at the hospital. Constance assured her the hospital would make her stay as pleasant as possible. In a day or two, the woman did get the courage to enter the hospital. When Constance visited her, the woman smiled and she said, "You convinced me." Then unexpectedly, she asked Constance, "What church do you belong to?" Constance told her she was a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The woman said, "I knew it. I knew that you were sent to me from the first day that I saw you. There was a light in your face that I had noticed in the others of your faith, and I had put my trust in you." In 3 months' time, the festering leg was completely healed. Members of the ward where the old woman lived remodeled her house and fixed up her yard. The missionaries met with her, and she was baptized soon after. All this because she noticed the light in that young student nurse's face.
That's President James E. Faust. President Thomas S. Monson in the April 2009 General Conference explains that each of us can have a light in his or her own life that is an influence to others.
Late one evening, on a Pacific Isle, a small boat slipped silently to its berth at the crude pier. Two Polynesian women helped Meli Mulipola from the boat and guided him to the well-worn pathway leading to the village road. The women marveled at the bright stars, which twinkled in the midnight sky. The moonlight guided them along their way. However, Meli Mulipola could not appreciate these delights of nature, the moon, the stars, the sky, for he was blind. Brother Mulipola's vision had been normal until a fateful day when, while working on a pineapple plantation, light turned suddenly to darkness and day became perpetual night. He was depressed and despondent until he learned the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. His life was brought into compliance with the teachings of the church, and he once again felt hope and joy. Brother Mulipola and his loved ones have made a long voyage, having learned that one who held the priesthood of God was visiting among the islands of the Pacific. He sought a blessing, and it was my privilege, along with another who held the Melchizedek priesthood, to provide that blessing to him. As we finished, I noted that tears were streaming from his sightless eyes, coursing down his brown cheeks and tumbling finally upon his native dress. He dropped to his knees and prayed, "O God, thou knowest I am blind. Thy servants have blessed me that my sight may return. Whether in thy wisdom I see light or whether I see darkness, all the days of my life, I will be eternally grateful for the truth of thy gospel, which I now see and which provides the light of my life." He rose to his feet and, smiling, thanked us for providing the blessing. He then disappeared into the still of the night. Silently he came. Silently he departed. But his presence, I shall never forget. I reflected upon the message of the Master. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. My brothers and sisters, each of us has that light in his life. We're not left to walk alone, no matter how dark our pathway. I love the words penned by M. Louise Haskins. And I quote, "I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, 'Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown.' And he replied, 'Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than a light and safer than an own way.'"
That's President Thomas S. Monson. You're listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A, Questions and Answers. If you have a question for the Mormon Channel, please send us an email. We would love to answer the question for you. Our email address is radio@ldschurch.org. And if you'd like to download a copy of this episode, please go to our website, radio.lds.org. We were sent a question that says, quote, "Why is light so important in the scriptures?" Close quote. President James E. Faust in the April 2006 General Conference encourages us to let our light shine as a missionary tool.
We can let the light within us show in many different ways. It may be as simple as a smile. I recently read the account of a man in the Northwest United States who used to drive past a bus stop on his way to work. He began to notice a young girl among some children waiting for the school bus. Even when it was raining, she would smile and wave as he drove by. He said the young girl was tall and slim and about 13 years old. She wore a mouthful of braces, and I could see them glisten in the glare of my car lights. Her effort to be friendly gave this day a good start and was something he looked forward to. This man's name was Hankins, and he had a daughter, Cheryl, who was about the same age as the girl at the bus stop. One day, Cheryl asked her parents' permission to attend an activity at a local church. A neighbor girl, Vicky, had invited her to attend. The activity was MIA, Forerunner of the Young Women program. Cheryl enjoyed MIA and after a while told her parents that Vicky was a Mormon. It wasn't long before Cheryl came home from school and said that Vicky was sending two young men over, missionaries, to tell the family about her church. The elders arrived and taught them about the Book of Mormon, Joseph Smith, and bore their testimonies of the restoration of the gospel. As a family, they began to read these new scriptures and were soon captivated by them. Mr. Hankins finally met Vicky. She was the smiling girl he had seen many times at the bus stop. She was present when he and two other members of his family were baptized. Looking back on Vicky's actions and those of other young people, Brother and Sister Hankins became convinced that the greatest potential for missionary work lies in the youth of the church. Brother and Sister Hankins have since served as missionaries themselves. They relied upon referrals and good example that the youth supplied. Vicky, the girl at the bus stop who smiled every day, even when it was raining, changed their lives forever.
We must always remember that one of our hymns teaches us, quote, "The Lord is my light," close quote. Each and every hour of each and every day, we must draw closer to the Savior Jesus Christ because he is the light of the world. Elder Robert D. Hales bore a special witness of his light. As we strive to understand, develop, and cherish light in our lives, we can have peace in this life and gain eternal life in the world to come. Elder Robert D. Hales, in the April 2002 General Conference, talks about Jesus is the light of the world.
Now, my brothers and sisters, this last great conflict between light and darkness, I am grateful for the opportunity to endure hardness as a disciple of Jesus. With Paul, I declare, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. I bear my special witness that Jesus Christ is the light, the life of the world. Yea, the light that is endless, that can never be darkened. He is the light of Bethlehem, born of Mary, his mortal mother, and his Father, Almighty God. He is the light who was baptized by immersion by John the Baptist, upon whom the Holy Ghost was manifest in the Spirit, like a dove descending. He is the light in whom his Father was well pleased. He is the light at the head of the ancient church, organized with 12 apostles, prophets, and 70s. He is the light of the atonement, fulfilled in the Garden of Gethsemane and on Golgotha, who took upon himself the sins of the world, that all mankind may obtain eternal salvation. He is the light of the empty tomb, the resurrected Lord with a glorified body of flesh and bone, who broke the bands of death and gained an everlasting victory over the grave. He is the light that ascended into heaven before the eyes of his disciples, with a promise that in this like manner he would come again, and he will come again. He is the light that appeared with his Father and restored through the prophet Joseph Smith the same church he established during his ministry on earth. He is the light that leads and guides this church today through revelation to a prophet, his counselors, and the 12 apostles. He is the light. He is my light, my Redeemer, my Savior, and yours.
That's Elder Robert D. Hales. Thank you so much for listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A, Questions and Answers. Hopefully we were able to answer the question why light is so important in the Scriptures.
You've been listening to the Mormon Channel's Q&A on radio.lds.org.